Good morning and welcome to another episode of Rugby with Pads. I'm your host Sam and this is our week 8 waivers show. Reaction to week 7 as well. So let's take a look back at the week that was in fantasy. There were some really interesting games. Really interesting. And I ended up having both my best and worst weeks in some regards. In the Zombie League I got 193 points, which was crazy. And I'm not really sure how I did it, but I think it was because there were so many people, you know, scoring multiple touchdowns, and I think that's what we're seeing in the league. We're seeing alphas really come to the fore. We're seeing the likes of Jonathan Taylor Renaissance, AJ Brown. We're seeing these alphas really come out and doing their thing, and Mark Andrews taking control. Obviously, not many receptions, but two touchdowns. That Lamar game was amazing, and even the guys who you thought might fade away with other superstars coming through like Puka Nacua. Yeah, he's still doing bits, and we love Puka for that. But yeah, let's take a look at the week 7 reactions. I think the biggest thing that stood out to me early on was late/imaginary IR status reports. They're not cool, especially if you're in the UK and you have to respond late, or you know you set your lineup at 4 and you go and have your tea, and then it starts at 6, and then all of a sudden Bijan Robinson isn't playing. That's crazy. It hit me in a couple of leagues. Luckily, it didn't affect me, but I know some people listening to this show, it would have affected them, and rightly so. He ended up scoring 3 points, well, it was 0.3 points on the week, after feeling like he had a bit of a jippy dummy or something. That's what we're hearing. DK hurt me in a lot of places. I had to actually ditch him in a place because in a lot of leagues, once you've set or once the team has played, even if they're on the bench, you can't move them, you can't drop them. So I had to end up dropping DK in order to win a match. You know, to be fair, in that match, I probably could have kept him. I swapped him out for a KJ Osborne. I won the match by 30. Arguably, I should have done that. It's a one bench spot league, but you know, I'm sure it hurt plenty more people seeing that late in the day as well and not really knowing who to go for. And pivoting to Tyler Lockett was not the choice. JSN and Jake Bobo lighting it up there. I mean, let's think about the positive, though. Lamar proving the haters wrong. Gus and Mandrews are being dragged along with him as well. That game was a funny one because I thought, based on the fact that it was an absolute boat race from early doors, Jahmyr Gibbs wouldn't be involved, but they actually used him for the first time. If we're seeing the Lions, this being a true representation of the Lions with Jahmyr Gibbs being in there, I don't think we are. I think we've maybe got a couple of weeks before, what's his name? David Montgomery comes back, and then we'll see the true representation. But you know, Gibbs was used massively in a whitewash. We saw what they used him well. They experimented. And he was pretty efficient, even when Goff was having a pretty bad day. I think it was 9 receptions as well. So, yeah, he did fantastic there. Not huge yardage, but in PPR, that's all we need. Josh Downs, I believe, he feels like the alpha, or at the very least as good as Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman with a crazy 75 yard after contact touchdown. It was I loved seeing that. It was like an angry run for a wide receiver. And if any of you saw my Instagram post, got the Angry Runs t-shirts here in the UK, and Kyle Brandt, we're famous now. Kyle Brandt actually reposted us on Instagram. He has no idea who I am and never will do. But, you know, it's something that I'm going to dine out on a little bit. But anyway, angry run from Pittman. He was very useful. Josh Downs seems like he's got this laser connection with Gardner Minshew, who himself had a really fantastic day. Minshew mania is back. And we've got him probably until the end of the season. So, you know, we'll see more of this happen. And if he can get Jonathan Taylor, I think it was a weird game. I think we'll probably see a regression to the mean next week, but you know, it was always fun to see. After hyping him up, I am now officially saying I'm out on Gabe Davis. Don't rely on him in your team. He's the biggest boom bust candidate I've ever seen. Yeah, just if you need a win a game, don't rely on him. And he gave me a bit of a scare after going up 30 points. Him dropping 1.6 really didn't help my team, and I only won that game by 7 in the end. But you know, I wasn't relying on him. If I had been, it would have been a different story. But you know, Josh Allen still puts up numbers even when he looks like, you know, what's a polite word for, yeah, you know what I mean. He looked rubbish, I thought, early on, and it wasn't a great game. He's had a couple of games where he hasn't been great, but they've eked out victories. They obviously lost in the UK when they came over to Wembley. But yeah, he didn't look great. But they just did enough. Sorry, he was at Tottenham, wasn't he? I think they lost. Anyway, we'll get past that. Mac Jones scored his highest of the year, maybe second highest of the year, but he did so on everyone's bench, as did Gus Edwards. I told everyone to give up on Gus Edwards, and I was wrong. He scored 22 on my bench, which is really annoying. Kamara is a reception machine, and you should get him. You need to get him. Even when they're rubbish, he is getting 9, 10, 12 targets. It's crazy. Devontae Adams seems like he's human now. One play in particular where Brian Hoyer had him on a fade. Actually, no, it wasn't really a fade. It was just a bit of a lob. But back corner of the end zone, you think that's Devontae Adams. He's got it. And he had bricks for hands. Dropped it. It was his fault. He is human. Not a great game, but still scored double digits. So that's better than a lot of people. But not quite as good as Darren Waller. Darren Waller, who... Yeah, it's Darren Waller, I think. He was fantastic. He 22 points. He was worked into the system. It looks like he's got a better relationship with Tyrod Taylor, who maybe is a better passer of the ball. And maybe the Giants are thinking, maybe we should go with Tyrod, not the person we paid $40 million to see, you know, fall over and get eaten by the grass, the turf monster. I've already mentioned the Colts, but Moss and JT can still share reps. But it feels like even though they're sharing, Jonathan Taylor is the better runner, and I think we're seeing that. You know, I think cream rises to the top when it comes to that set of guys. Minshew looked like he had so much swagger in that game that I just got to say it again. You know, the way he had, I didn't realise he was that mobile a quarterback, but he's just really fun to watch, and I'm really hoping that he will be this fun moving forwards. The Bears looked better without Fields. is it Tyson Bagent? I watched back at him. He was a Division II quarterback, but he was the Division II Heisman winner in his senior year. He was a 5-year starter. Never really got seen in Division I. He went undrafted and got in. He holds NCAA records for like 159 touchdowns or something during his career. Crazy, crazy stuff. And he went off. He didn't look that great on the stat sheet, but he did enough them to make them interesting. And their running game, as I predicted... Go back and listen to the waiver show from last week, and you'll hear the same story this week. But Deonta Foreman went off, 33 points in PPR. Fantastic. As I mentioned already, Puka is still very viable, even with Kupp in the lineup. The offense looks fun, but it shoots itself in the foot from time to time, and I think that's decision making. We were robbed. That was no way. So there were two decisions beforehand. The defensive holding or pass interference from the ex-Steeler cornerback, I can't remember his name now, and the tush-push style, you know, didn't get anywhere close. I don't know how that was marked as a first down. And then we were out of challenges. It couldn't be reviewed because it was before the two-minute warning. Yeah, bad game, and that was not the way to end the game. But I'm not bitter or saddened by that. The fact that was one of the few Rams game that I stayed up to watch this year because we were on late so much, and then I saw that. It's a shame. But, you know, everything looks fun. And with plug-and-play running backs, Darrell Henderson and Royce Freeman were not efficient, but they did enough to make sure that the passing game could thrive. And Puka Nacua, you know, some of those catches that he made, the one on the sideline, him and Jake Bobo make sideline, you know, foot touch, both late round or non-drafted guys. You know, we're seeing an emergence of a different style of wide receiver, especially in the NFC West. I'm really enjoying those guys and watching them play. Although Jake Bobo maybe is a bit of a flash in the pan this week, we'll have to see. Kelsey's always a cheat code, and Swifties will not shut up about it. He was great again. He's had 300 plus yards on 21 receptions over the last two games. Crazy. He's a cheat code. Herbert disappointed, which is a real shame. We thought that was going to be a shootout. That was just a disappointing game in all, but the Chiefs' defense looked good. The Chargers' defense didn't. That was the difference. Herbert was overwhelmed. And you know what? Even with Kellen Moore, he continues to suffer from Chargeritis. And unfortunately for fantasy owners, he brought down Keenan Allen. We had such high hopes for him. But it was definitely a game where Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer went off. So that was really interesting to see. Even Josh Kelly actually had a long touchdown as well. We already talked about the Giants being better off Daniel Jones. Miami can't be up on the big guys, it seems. And they were held to minus 8 rushing yards in the first quarter, or was it the first half, against what is a very stout Eagles front. They hadn't played a good opponent, and you look at the opponents they do play who are good. The Bills, they couldn't live up to that. They are a very flashy team and then can beat up on minnows, but maybe they can't beat up on the big guys. But someone who can beat up on the big guys is AJ Brown. Him and Jalen Hurts had a day of it, and that was really fun to watch. Some of those catches were crazy. But what about this week? Who's out in week 8? No one. There's no bye weeks. We're through the first bye apocalypse, but it'll be back next week. So there's a long list, and I'd say anyone who was on a bye and who may have been dropped, because people do that, and you need to be smarter than them. Anyone from Cincinnati, so it could be Burrow or Higgins, or you know, Chase won't like to be a drop, but just check your league. The Dallas defense might be available. They are in another league. Jets defense as well. But any guys who are worthwhile candidates at this stage of the season, you want to be picking them up, especially when you're fighting for them. And if you're fighting low and you've got high waiver wire, pick them up. Titans, there's probably not anyone you really want to pick up unless... You know what, we'll talk about that in the waivers bit in a bit. Panthers, Chuba Hubbard, maybe. We'll see. And Houston, if you can find CJ Stroud, if he's out there, regardless of matchup, I think he's a fun quarterback to have on your roster as a QB2, and he could get you out of the spot, hopefully. We'll see how he develops after the bye, because hopefully he'll add a bit of coaching there. But let's go through our top guys this week. It's tough because I think we're now seeing... This waiver show might get shorter and shorter each week, because what we're seeing is less players who are breaking out. And we know there's teams that are set, basically. So you know the guys who are going to be there, and injuries are piling up. So the pool becomes lessened, and the guys coming in maybe aren't really fulfilling the need. We've already had the guys breaking out. It's interesting. So we might start seeing some of the names, but I've tried to pick out some names that I haven't done. There's two that I have done, three or four that I haven't. So let's go through them now. We'll start off with someone who I've already talked about, Gardner Minshew. 96% available. He's around for the rest of the season. And regardless of matchup, he is looking pretty tasty. He has been more of a pass... Yeah, obviously, we knew that Anthony Richardson was not going to be the biggest pass guy in the world. I think that was obvious to everyone. But even on his feet, Gardner Minshew just gives people enough to think about. And when you're seeing quarterbacks fall by the wayside and just underperform. We've got Matt Stafford underperforming. We've got Jimmy G's gone as well. Sam Howell had a bit of a howler this week, and even Brock Purdy didn't really live up to billing on Monday Night Football. I haven't talked about that, but that was a weird game. I can't believe the San Francisco 49ers lost that game. Absolutely crazy. But Indianapolis going against New Orleans, it's a tough New Orleans defense, but everyone keeps saying that, but New Orleans don't win regularly, and they feel like a soft team to beat up on. So maybe Gardner Minshew is the best option there. And he was going to be my pickup of the week, because 96%, he's just fun to root for. And if you're going to watch games, watch Gardner Minshew games. They're always good value. Someone else who I've already talked about, we'll go with the three guys I've already talked about. Donta Foreman, 33 points this week. He is still 51% available. Go back and listen to last week's show. He was 67% available last week. Not enough people picked him up, so he's still eligible for this list. 50% is the margin until later on in the season. So, yeah, go and get him. There's no one else running it, so he's going to be the best option. And I think even with the guys back, if Khalil Herbert comes back, I don't think he will. I think he might be season-ending. But he's outplaying Rashawn Johnson, and he's an angry attitude style runner. I think I heard that so much during Red Zone. He's an attitude style runner, but he is. Go get him, because at the very least, in a poor running back market, he's going to get you something at the very least. And finally, Josh Downs, he should be a staple by now. I don't know how he's 65% available. I've tried to pick him up, and apparently the people I'm playing against know what they're doing, and we'll pick them up, because I can't get him anywhere. But yeah, he is should be a staple by now, and valued just as highly as Michael Pittman, especially with Gardner Minshew in there. So there's your stack there. Elsewhere, I noticed this week, and I was doing a little bit of coaching with my little brother. I say he's little; he's a full grown adult, but he's joined fantasy for the first time, and he is in my Zombie League and the League of Collusionary Gentlemen. I don't think he won the League of Collusionary Gentlemen because he was just struggling. But on Sunday, we had a bit of a clinic. We cleaned up his lineups and we picked up Dalton Kincaid in one of those. And he did fantastically. Dalton Kincaid, still 69% available. I think people dropped him because he was injured. But he came back and looked good. Dawson Knox did as well, but not as good as Dalton Kincaid. And I think we'll see him work more into the lineup as well. Darrell Henderson, interesting, he's on the bubble for me. I'm not sure whether I will include him on my Instagram post, but 78% available. The Rams offense is potent and they are running it a decent amount. They're getting enough plays. It's a quick pace of play as well. It's run, run, deep pass, run, run, short pass. They will have a pattern to them and they go on streaks. And if you can be part of that, Darrell Henderson's, yeah, who's got plenty of opportunity. He's not efficient enough for me, so he might not make the full list on this one, but he's a very interesting player nonetheless. Another interesting player that is less available, but potentially has less opportunity, I was just reading another text from a friend there who was disappointed that Cole Kmet scored a big fat zero. Tyjae Spears for the Titans. He has had these weirdly explosive plays. He hasn't had as many snaps as you would want him to have, but he did out-snap Derrick Henry a couple of times. Derrick Henry is still Derrick Henry. He's going to do Derrick Henry things, but if that's the case, they're going to run the ball, especially if Malik Willis is under center, and they're going to need to run the ball if they switch to Will Levis to get the pressure off him. So I think Tyjae Spears, 2/3 available is definitely an option there. And finally, Jake Bobo. Already talked about him. That toe tap was amazing. If we see DK out for a long amount of time, I haven't checked what DK's out with, but if you're struggling for receivers and you want someone to really root for and you want to slam dunk that he's going to be available, I think he was 0.4% rostered. So over 99% available in most leagues. And this is based on a 12-man format, 12-man PPR format with 7 bench spots. He is going to be around. So Jake Bobo, I think, could be interesting, especially if DK spends his time out, because he is physical. He's big and physical. Whereas JSN is this slot guy and Ty Lockett is this, can be this burner, that he's creates separation, but, it's so... He's more physical. He's more of a DK step in than Tyler Lockett is, which is crazy. Tyler Lockett avoids contact. Jake Bobo was going up there and competing. So those are your guys. So Minshew, Jonta Foreman, Josh Downs, Kincaid, Bobo, Tyjae Spears, and Darrell Henderson if you're desperate. But those are your guys. Go get them. Good luck in your Week 8 matchups. Good luck in your in all your waiver conditions, etc. If you like this kind of stuff and like the kind of shorter stuff where we just give you the stats and who you need, please do drop us a like and follow at Rugby the Pads at all of your various social medias. You can support us directly, rugbywithpads.com. Get a membership and get some merch while you're there as well. Or you can go direct to our Etsy store, store.rugbywithpads.com. Or just search for us, Rugby with Pads, on Etsy. You'll find us there. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back on probably Thursday with a preview show. The day job has been pretty intense of late, so I'm sorry this is running a bit late, but thank you all for listening, and I will see you all very soon on the Virtual Gridiron.